Yeah. Okay, so last week we ended a little bit abruptly about Tzimtzum, right? We showed how the Shitas HaLashem is, even though he seems to say that he holds that Tzimtzum was Kepshuto, like the Mishnas Chasidim, in reality it was really just the Chazara back to the beginning idea of the revelation of the Koach HaGvul that was within the Bilti Gvul, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Koach, the potential to eventually bring out limitation is what revelation of Tzimtzum was. And just Agav, to end off the story with the Hasidim and the Misnagdim, and we showed that the Vilna Gaon, at least according to my humble opinion, it doesn't seem that he's arguing at all with the Baal Shem Tov as brought out in the Talmidei of Alatanya and Sifrei Chabad, but that the Gra himself seemed to agree wholeheartedly that Tzimtzum was Lav Kepshuto, and that it's just the different manifestation towards our Avodas Hashem, meaning according to the Baalei Lita, so the manifestation is only for specific times, and God forbid to think too much about it. But according to Hasidim, it seems to be an ikar part of the Avodah, and a person has to be mitbonein, a person has to learn how to focus very intensely and to be ma'ayin in the concepts of Einon Mavado, and Leis Asar Panemine, and the Soviv Kal Amlin, and the Yichud Ilah, all the different representations of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's imminence is very much present.
Also the Ari, we're saying everyone understands Lav Kepshuto, and like it's...
Yeah, the interpretation of the Arizal, at least from the Ksavim, from the writings themselves, imply, and even the original commentators, implies that it was Lav Kepshuto, and that it was Oro La'afuke Atzmuso, like we said, B'Shem Meremez. But the Vilna Gaon Shita, those who apply to the Vilna Gaon some Kepshuto, it doesn't seem to be a textual diuk. And especially there's Nuksav Yad that was printed by Ava Shalom from Rav Yaakov Pilel's Yeshiva a few years ago in a sefer called Ksavim Chadashim Rav Chaim Vital, which brings down a drush from Ksav Yad, which literally says that it was Lav Kepshuto Mamash. He says Kavyachol, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzav to himself. And that was a very big thing for the people who have still been fighting this fight to try and show that the Vilna Gaon holds Lav Kepshuto. So any textual remez in the Arizal, it seems that it was Lav Kepshuto.
So if we're saying machlokes between the Chasidim and the Misnagdim, is more just how we're supposed to, if we're supposed to relate to the fact that it's Lav Kepshuto or not, how would you say what was Chassidus Mechadish to the Mahalach of the Ari?
One Matal Hazashir, he gave an Eish last year, I think, where he explains what Chassidus really is and explained, I think that's what he did in that year.
Yeah. Chassidus and Rivet Shemaiah Morgenstern has hundreds of pages about what exactly the Chiddush of Chassidus was, L'umas Kabbalah, and what the Arizal was saying. Obviously, there were no new Chiddushim, Chas V'Shalom, but it was really bringing down the ideas of the Arizal in a very short, simple way to the level of Avodas Hashem. You need to focus on the concepts that the Arizal elucidated and to bring it into the personal Avodas Hashem, and to see Shemayim Ba'aretz, to see all the spheres and all the parts of him and all the concepts of Tzimtzum and the Kav, which we'll get to explain, within the person himself, within his daily Avodas Hashem. The Pia Zetzner, Hashem Yom Kom Demo, in the back of Sefer Hachshar Zavrechim, before Sav Ziris, is a small kuntras called Mavo Sha'arim, which is really one of the first places that really spends a lot of time describing in incredible detail and poetic detail the difference between Chassidus and Kabbalah. It's really, really important to learn. It's an incredible sefer. It's a little bit lengthy in the beginning, but then you get a few nekudos in. You get into really meaty, beautiful ideas, making a differentiation between being meir Oros versus Kalim, which we'll also get to explain. But it's a really important sefer to look at if a person wants to know the exact difference between Chassidus and Kabbalah.
But in terms of Tzimtzum, yeah.
In terms of Tzimtzum, no. There's no machlokas. It's just the Arizal, the Chora, at least in the Sefer Eitz Chaim, was not speaking about Adar Chavod. The Arizal is different Svarim, based on Rav Chaim Vital's writings, which seems to be more focused, like Shari Kedusha, which is much more focused than, probably the most focused on personal Avodah Hashem of all the Arizal's writings, and not including Shara Havanos and Pri Eitz Chaim, which are definitely directly focused towards the personal Avodah of a person, because that's basically applying Eitz Chaim towards the tefillos of each day, where you realize that the entire gamut of Eitz Chaim from Shar Aleph to Shar Nun is basically taking place within one Shmona Esrei. That's really the transference from the theoretical realm of the Arizal Shitos towards the practical realm of bringing it into actuality. But Hasidus definitely was not Mechadesh any Shitos in Tzimtzum himself. And Adrabba, as we see in the later Hasidim, and even in the earlier Hasidim, there's a focus on the Lashonos of the Arizal, but never like a Masa Umatan like we have by the Svardish and the Kubalim. There's never really a pilpul in trying to understand the Lashonos of the Arizal, but rather really how it applies to our personal Avodas Hashem. Just back to the Machlokas of Tzimtzum, just in later Achronisha Gedolim, not even Mekubalim, but people who had Sheikhas to these ideas, it's Barur from every place that there was no Machlokas. Rav Dessler in Michtav Mi'Eliyahu in Chelak Hay, where he has in the back there, you have to look in the Tochin, but that's where he has like the Torahs that are Shaykh to Kabbalah. He writes that he studied the writings of both schools time and time again, especially the writings of Rabbi Yitzchak Eizenchaver and Pesachei Sha'arim and the Nitziv HaTzimtzum, and he said it was clear to him that there was no machlokas at all.
Between
the Shita Savil Nagon and the Shita of the Baal Shem Tov regarding Tzimtzum. And he said the only manifestation of machlokas is how practically a person should focus on these ideas. His son-in-law, Rav Goldshatzler, who has a sefer called Kachei Yoshua on Kachim, he's like a Gon Atzim, he used to live in Queens. Now he lives in Muncie. He has like six huge volumes on Kachim. He has two mechtavim in the back of Kachei Yoshua called Arichos B'inyan HaTzimtzum, with letters from his father-in-law, Rav Dessler, and stories about him going through Rav Huttner, and Rav Huttner asking for those letters to see where Rav Dessler wrote these ideas, because Rav Huttner also himself said that I never thought there was ever a machlokas between the two of them, and I want to see the rayas from Rav Dessler. Rav Cutler, also in this letter, it said that in Lakewood they didn't want to include a Chabadnik and a Minyan, and Rav Cutler said, what are you thinking, there's no machlokas between the Baal Tanya and the Vilna Gaon? That's just a story to be meramez that even Rav Aaron Cutler felt that there was no machlokas at all in the Shitos. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, and it's not, I don't necessarily
have to... Well, if you're saying there's no machlokas in how to understand...
No machlokas in terms of thinking that the Vilna Gaon held that Tzimtzum was Kapshuta. Everybody is moda that there's a machlokas, not a machlokas, but I mean, we don't call it a machlokas when a person has a different opinion as to how to manifest ideas. There's no machlokas in the Iker idea of what Tzimtzum did that would affect the hashkafos of the two movements. There's no absolute difference in it, like we saw between the Shomer Mun Makadmon and the Mishnas Chasidim, where there was actually a machlokas as to whether Tzimtzum was Kapshuto or not Kapshuto, and everything that would be applied to each Shita. The Lubavitcher Rebbe has a Mechtav, and Rav Yoel Klaft, who was the Av Beis Din in Haifa, if I'm not mistaken, who was very close to Rav Chaim Friedlander and Rav Dessler and Rav Huttner, he writes in a sefer called Das Yoel. He's not a Das Yachid, the Lubavitcher Rebbe was also masking to this. I don't fully understand the letter from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, so I'm not going to speak about it. But Rav Yoel Klaft was very, very harsh, and he said, how dare you claim that the Vilna Gaon wasn't arguing on Hasidus? We have all these Mechtavim, we have historically, it's proven that there was a Machlokas, especially with regards to how HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is manifested in the lower reality. And he says that it's not a clear Machlokas, and I can't necessarily prove what the Vilna Gaon Shita was, but he said you have to be very careful when treading on the territory of applying certain ideas to the Vilna Gaon's legacy and to his Shitos and Tzimtzum without knowing the full extent of the details. But that being said, Ruba de Kula seemed to agree and be molded to the fact that there was no real machlokas between the Vilna Gaon and the Baal Shem Tov, except for maybe a linguistic issue we saw that I pointed out in Nefesh HaChayim Shar Gimel and Shar Yichud V'Emunah, that Soviv Kalam and Mamal Kalam have different representations. And like the Nefesh HaChayim writes, that there's a difference in how to apply these ideas. So I'd comfort Tzimtzum.
But the Lubavitcher Rebbe thought there was?
Lubavitcher Rebbe seems to, because he was again, he was... Meaning Rav Yoel Klaft came from the school of the Gra to kind of strengthen the Gra's opinion and say, no, he was arguing on Chassidus. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe was coming to say that, no, the Baal HaTanya was saving the world, Kavyachol, from these ideas. I can get you the letter itself. It's hard to understand because it's still, any of the Ksavim of the Vilna Gaon seem to be relatively clear that Tzimtzum was Lav Kipshuto. So I don't understand the Lubavitcher Rebbe. But obviously he had a shita in it.
Was that based off the Baal Tanya? The shita?
No, the Baal Tanya is very clear. The Baal Tanya is very clear and says that there were Mekubalim. In Shar Yichud V'Emunah, he says, I'm coming here to save people from the Mekubalim HaRishonim who made the mistakes of taking things very literally and assuming that Simson was Kipshuto. He was referring to the Mishnah's Chasidim, and Lubavitcher Rebbe himself writes that. He quotes the Yosher Levav, but what he felt, all he says is that there was a Machlokas, but he doesn't necessarily explain the tzad of what the Machlokas was. So that's just a shita that doesn't do much for us right now, but it's good to know that, I mean, as much as we're stressing that there was no machlokas, the Rav Yoel Klaft, who was a big gadol, and Lubavitcher Rebbe seemed to hold that there was a machlokas, along with these current rabbanim who seem to claim, based on Nuk Kitvei Yad and Vilna Gaon, that they want to prove from different lashonos that maybe, according to the Vilna Gaon, Simson was kipshuta. Adkan Simson, really?
Sorry.
Yeah.
What is Nadler saying?
He brings a raya from a pasuk in Yeshaya on the Vilna Gaon's interpretation of that pasuk, but I read it a while ago and I don't remember. He doesn't focus in on it so much because it's really, that book is based on the Talmud of the Vilna Gaon Rav Pinchas Plotzk, I think, so he doesn't really apply it, but that's basically Tzimtzum. Now we have, where we're holding now, is that a Kaddish Baruch Hu cleared out Kavyachal, however we want to say it. There's a space right now. There's a halal where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is removed, so to speak, in order to create the Nevraim. So in that halal, so there's a concept in Kitvei Arizal, or especially in the Kitvei HaRamchal and the Ksavim of the Talmidei HaGra, which goes one hand in hand with what we were talking about up until now about Simson being Lav Kipshuto, but it's more of a physical aspect of that idea. The Arizal writes in numerous places, especially in Shara Akudim, in Eitz Chaim, that in Kedusha, when you remove something, not like we said in the previous Chaburos, that if you remove something, the essence stays in its place and all that's moving down is just a representation of that original essence, but when you move something in Kedusha, the Ari says, there's always a residue. There's always a Rishimu. There's always a residue, something left over of that original Or. Because right now, for all intents and purposes, we're referring to spirituality as Oros. Like we said, that's the most physical of the spiritual concepts that we could use for a Mashal. So when a Kadosh Baruch Hu removed that Or Ein Sof, whether you're talking Kipshuto or Lo Kipshuto, there is still a Rishimo, there is still a residue, a presence of that original Or Ein Sof. Okay, so within that halal right now, within that place, within that empty place, there's a Rishimu of the Or Ein Sof that was there, Kodem HaTzimtzum. What this means for us, we'll see, but Agav, the Nefesh HaChaim, speaks about what Chil Hashem is. The Lashon of Halal, like the Arizal uses, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created an empty space, a Halal, Lashon Chil is Chol, it means that it's no longer holy, it's no longer Kadosh. And analogously, we could say that the Or Ein Sof that was there beforehand is Kedusha, it's the representation, it's the presence of holiness, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, and the Halal is the presence of Chil, it's the presence of the ability for there to be Chulin, things that are not infused with the present holiness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This concept of the Rishimu comes to say that even that halal is not absolutely empty, and it's not a vacuum. It's not empty of the Or Ein Sof that was there, Kodem HaTzimtzum, but rather everything that is going to take place within that halal HaTzimtzum, meaning that's the area of all existence, of all the olamos from Rosh Kol Davar till Sof Kol Davar, which is the lowest aspect of our physical universe, all of that subsists within that halal. So once we understand that in that halal there is still a Rishimu, there's a Rishimu, there's a residue, there's a hint, there's a shadow of that undying light, of that Or Ein Sof. So everything that exists within this halal is built upon the Rishimu of the Or Ein Sof. And the Leshem Shabbat Achaloma speaks about this all the time. He speaks about it with regards to what we say on the Yomim Noraim, Beretzono Mamogig and Beretzono Mechogig, that in the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he could undo everything and he could redo everything, meaning that the nature of reality is very, very fluid, for lack of a better term. Everything exists upon the Rishimo of Or Ein Sof. Within that halal, everything is subsumed within that residue of the Or Ein Sof. And the Baal Shem Tov writes numerous times that when a person, I have always struggled with this, because the Roshim of Or Ein Sof, the Roshim of the infinite light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'chora should have the same properties as the Or Ein Sof. You can't separate infinity, you can't separate absolute Achdus. So I think this is also a major nekuda in the Shitas of the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov writes in numerous places in Keser Shem Tov, or it's said b'shem the Baal Shem Tov, that when you toface in a chelik of the etzem, when a person touches an aspect of the essential idea, he's in reality grasping the entire aspect, the entire thing in its totality. What that means is that even though the Roshem, and however HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to separate the Roshem, again, like Rabbi Nachman says, we can't understand the transference from the Or Ein Sof into the Tzimtzum, into a Chalal, because it's a Stira Min Eyuvei, because at the same point that we need to say that there's a Chalal, we need to say that it's still completely Or Ein Sof. So we can't really understand the Pella, the Hiskashrus, like the Ramah says, that by Maflila Asos, that the Pella, the Iker wonderment, is the Hiskashrus of Ruchnius Bagashmius, the Ramah says by Asher Yatzar. So too, Lamala Lamala, the Iker Pella, in terms of understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship with our world, is the Hamshacha from the Or Ein Sof to the Chalal HaTzimtzum with the Rishimo, and then again with the Hiskashrus of that Or Ein Sof, originally through the Kaf. Okay, so up until now we spoke about the Tzimtzum, we spoke about the fact that there was Or Ein Sof before the Bria, Kodem HaBria, then there was a Tzimtzum, and then there was a Chalal. Within that Chalal, there's the Rishimo. The Ramchal writes, because the Ramchal is really the main person to speak about this Rishimo, to speak about this residue that subsists the entire Chalal HaPanui.
Where?
He speaks about it in the Klalim HaRishonim in the back of Das Tvunos. He speaks about it in Pesach Chaf Vav and Chaf Zayin and Klach Pesche Chachma. And he speaks about it in Igros Pesche Chachma Vadas, which is in the Sefer Sharei HaRamchal, the green ones. But it's Kimat Rubo Kukulu in all of his Svarim, because whenever he starts off, he speaks about the Tzimtzum, and then he speaks about the Rishimo. Ad Kedekach, the Rishimo to the Ramchal is the presence and the Shorash of all Gvul. Right, we're speaking about the Koach HaGvul of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All limitation that will come after the Tzimtzum is rooted in this Rishimo. Because Klapei Or Ein Sof, that was there originally, the Rishimo is completely chaser. It's just a small, small shadow, if you will, of the Or Ein Sof that was there previously. So the Or Ein Sof is the Shoresh to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ability to be Metaken everything, and to fix everything, and his absolute Shlita over all of existence. In contradistinction to that, the Rishimo is the shoresh of all imperfection. It's the shoresh of Kalim, it's the shoresh of the Nekeva, it's the shoresh of being Makabel, Le'umas the Zachar, Le'umas the person being Mashpia, right? All these Erchen, all these relative terms are rooted in the Tzimtzum and the Rishimo. Okay, in the Or Ein Sof and the Rishimo. The Or Ein Sof represents constantly the perfect aspect, the aspect that can give over, the aspect that is light versus darkness, that's the sun versus the moon, that's the Dachar versus the Nukva, right? And the Rishimo is the shoresh of all imperfection, which will eventually degrade itself down to the lowest point of our reality. So that's what the Rishimo is. But like what the Ramchal was saying, the fact that the shoresh of all imperfection is this Rishimo shows a lot about what reality is based on. The stuff of reality, the most inner aspect of the reality that we deal with on a day-to-day level, is rooted in the Rishimo, is rooted in the Roshem of the Or Ein Sof. And if a person, Aderech Avodah, has the ability to dig down, dig through reality itself, and find that Roshem, find that the deepest core of reality, and forgive me for using these new age-ish terms, but it's the best possible way to explain it, that at its core is the Rishimo of the Or Ein Sof. But Lagabe the Or Ein Sof previously, the Rishimo is considered completely chaser. This, yeah.
So, working with Tzimtzum being Lav Kshuta, so that really means that the Or Ein Sof is actually still in the Chalal. It's just from our perspective that it's not,
mm-hmm.
which means it's really more, unless I'm misunderstanding it, it's more of like a sort of like Hashem made a move on our minds more than he did on reality, right? And if that's the case, then I just don't understand how there's really a Rishimo in, like, meaning in terms of, like, ontologically, like, looking at reality, the Or Ein Sof is still there fully. So it's just that we don't see it. So then, well, I guess you could say that Rishimo means that, like, in our minds, even though we don't see it, it's what we still do see.
Yeah, that's how...
So the Rishimo is basically
from
the leftover ability of our minds that we can
to grasp it on a wholeness. To grasp it on our level of existence. That, again, we have to make the distinction of mitzido and mitzidenu, which translates into das elyon and das tachton, elevated consciousness of godliness and the lower level of consciousness of man consciousness, or we perceive ourselves as individual beings and are separate from Elokus, right? So on that level, the Rishimo exists. Obviously, on the level of Das Elyon, there's no tzorich for a Rishimo because
right.
There's Orin Sof, Pshuto Kemashmo, and Leis Asar Panamine. So I can't say if Leis Asar Panamine that there's still a residue. From the lower level of human experience, there's a residue which we could tap into.
So it's like, I mean, I don't know if this is like distorting it, but it's actually really fascinating because you could explain all this as being just that. Tzimtzum and Rishimo is really the fact that Hashem gave us a koach of chachma, but a limited koach of chachma, because we can't fully grasp his infiniteness because our chachma is not capable of that. But the fact that we can grasp some degree of his isha, that's the Rishimo.
Yeah, it's the ability for us to work our way back up to the original place of what was there beforehand. Hashem has Kaviyachol given us hints. Yeah, and that's very the mashal all the time in the Sifrei Chassid, this is especially in Sifrei Vorka, is that a Kaddish Baruch Hu is playing hide and seek with us, Kaviyachol. And I forgot that there's an awesome Hebrew word for it, but we're supposed to be mechapesh. We're supposed to search out the Rishimo, especially the Torahs of Bedikas Chametz, is to search for the Roshem, to search for that hint of godliness with the candles, with the Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, with our Nishamas, which are also Rishimo. Right? So, but that's all Mitzad Das Tachton. That's all from the Tzad that we have to perceive Tzimtzum as having been Kipshuto.
It's
Maisa
of a book with measures.
Well, what's a Maisa?
With hide and seek, with the Baal Shem Tov.
I don't know.
I think Moshe Tzvi said it's in what's it called, like in Amar and he's playing hide and seek. He had a really good spot, and no one, after 10, 15 minutes, his friends stopped looking for him, so he came running to the top of them and started crying. Either of rough measures, but I'll look it up. Either he was the grandfather or he was the grandson. So, like, I had the best spot in the world, they stopped looking at me. So then he started crying and said the same thing with the Baruch Hu.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so that's much more of other ha'avoda, but what the Arizal is saying is that there's a tzimtzum. Well, the Ari doesn't mention Rishimo, technically. Rishimo is a concept like we hinted to in previous weeks in the Kabbalah of the worlds before the tzimtzum and the Olam HaMalbush, which is really based on a different Talmud of the Arizal and not Rav Chaim Vital, which
is 974?
Yeah, the Tav Kuf Ayin Doros.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Tav Kufayin Doros. Tav Kufayin Dalad. Those are the... there's room for that in the Chacham of the Arizal also. We'll see by Olam HaTohu. But that's something they use to... It's really the base alfin of the Sha'ashum of Torah. But that's the Olam HaMalbush, and that's the Ramal Mipana speaks a lot about that, and Rav Tzadok speaks about it, and Sifrei Chabad.
Very close.
Sorry, I lost it. What are you talking about now?
Olam HaMalbush, which is
speak about that?
No, we haven't
okay.
spoken about Olam HaMalbush, and we're probably not going
there's
to unless
a good
unless we get
a little, I guess, in a simple way to understand it, Ravitats has one. 974 generations, and why we don't really have what happened.
Right. So we can get there. We can, but it's the Leshem in the back of Haftamus Sharim has a whole shar in it called Shara Pona Kadim, but Rav Chaim Vital was, it's a whole machlokas, an amazing. Makoros about whether Rav Chaim Vital knew, whether if he knew it, whether
knew what
about these worlds before the Tzimtzum.
Uh-huh.
But and the Rishimo, the real concept of Rishimo, that's why I'm bringing it up. The real concept of Rishimo is part of those worlds, but applied to us as we're speaking about the Rishimo and the Chalal HaPanui, the Ramchal speaks about it a lot, and the Shemin Sasson, who's a major, major Svardash Mekubal, who wrote basically Shita Mekubetzes on the Kitvei Ari. Brings down in the beginning of Eitz Chaim, on his parish on Eitz Chaim, a ksav yad from Rav Chaim Vital that says that there was a roshem of or left over after the tzimtzum. So it has a major place in the Chacham of the Arizal, but it's not written out beferish anywhere. But the Ramchal himself was really the person who focused much more on it. So what happens now? We have a halal, and we have this Rishimo, and this is the place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to create all of existence for the first reason we spoke about, which was in order to bring out everything into potential. That's from Mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in order to give chiyus, in order to create a possibility of nevra'im, b'derech hishtashlus, to begin the process of the degradation of the worlds in order to come into existence, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mashrish a kav, right? Everyone's probably heard of the kav. He took a ray of the Ein Sof, kodem ha-tzimtzum, right? Like we said, the tzimtzum is a circle, the halal is a circle, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu pushed out kav yachol. He was mitzamtzem his or ha-Ein Sof to the tzadim of that circle. So the picture in the Eitz Chaim is literally a circle, with a blank circle, and around it is a darker area which represents the Ein Sof, because the Ein Sof was not removed like a vacuum according to the Tzimtzum, but rather was pushed out. So now you have this Chalal HaPanui, you have this vacated space within the Or HaSoviv, within the Ein Sof that's completely surrounding it from every corner. Okay, so from the Ein Sof...
You're saying it's more dense now outside because it was pushed out?
Well, Ein Sof, I mean...
It's infinite.
It's
I'm
infinite.
Just wondering
why
you keep saying that it's pushed out.
As opposed to that. Right. It's semantics in a sense, but just the concept of the circle is used to prove and show that the or Ein Sof from Kodem HaTzimtzum surrounds the aspect of the halal. It would apply also if you had vacuum out to be able to the orus. From the Ein Sof HaSoviv, right? Everyone's with me?
Mm-hmm.
From the Ein Sof HaSoviv, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a kav. Kav means a ray, kav means a line. And he took it from the top of the halal, from what we can perceive as the top, because up till now there's no right, left, anything, because it's just a halal, it's an igel. An igel is a circular form which has, without any point of reference, there's no top or bottom, and there's no middle, there's no ability to define exactly the starting point. And in order for there to be the hierarchy of creation, in order for there to be a hierarchy of Nivra and Bore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed to take a kav, kav yachlan again, muchrach, in the Lashon of the Arizal is only after HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided Baruf Chachmasa to create things this way. So the Kav came down from the top of the Halal, from the Ein Sof HaSoviv, and went into the Halal, towards the middle point of the Halal. So you basically now have a circle of the Halal, with a line coming from the top of it into the middle. That Kav is called the Kav Ein Sof. Okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took from that Ein Sof, that was there, Kodem HaTzimtzum, from that Bilti Gvul, and was mushrash it back into the Gvul. Once HaKadosh Baruch Hu had created that place of Gvul, created the possibility of there being a concept of creations, in order to give chiyus to those creations, in order to connect them towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship with that world, there was a kav.
What's a kav called
again? A kav is a ray, basically.
What's the kav called that he put in the middle?
Kav Ein Sof. That's the kav Ein Sof, okay? That's a that's the beginning stages of creation. And that's what the Arizal refers to as his kashrus hama'atzil imana etzal. That's the place of the connection between the creator and the creations. In order to create...
It stopped in the middle of Chala?
It's what?
It stopped in the middle
yeah,
of Chala.
Yeah, so we'll explain why it had to stop in the middle of Chala. Because now, once there's a ray, right? Once there's a line, a presence that we could...
How could there be a kav of infinite?
So, you're saying because it would expand itself immediately.
Yeah.
So there's something called the chut. The chut serves as the kli, if you will. And again, we're speaking on the loftiest of levels, and a kli is just relative to the light that was previous to it. It's not an actual kli, God forbid. And again, a person always has to have present in his mind the isra of hagshama with these inyonim. Obviously, we're not speaking about circles, and we're not speaking about lines. It's just a point of reference for our human intellect to be able to grasp certain ideas. So the Kav Ein Sof came down mitzumtzum. The Kav Ein Sof was garbed in something referred to as the chut, which protected it, which served as the kli for the Kav.
There was some Koach HaTzimtzum even going on.
There was a Koach HaTzimtzum, yeah. As Leshem says, the Kav itself is an absolute world, and it has all the halachos of any other world. It has a Tzimtzum, it has a Koach of Din and a Koach of Chesed. And so on the one hand, it's an expression from the Ori Ein-Sof coming back down, and that's a chesed, right? All expression is a chesed, and it's a Kaddish Baruch Hu being mechaya the halal with a kav. But at the same point, the kav is a restraining concept on the Ori Ein-Sof, so it also has the concept of gvura, because it's the shorish of all the olamos, and the shorish of what's going to be next needs to contain within it the potential of what will be eventually. Like Chazal say, koacha ben ba'av, right? The potential of the son is already in the father. So too, the potential of all the worlds that will come out after the kav are rooted within the kav also. So there's a kav and a chut. The kav is that ray of light that came into the world, that ore and sof that came into the halal, and the chut is what prevents that kav from expressing itself further. Okay? This kav is, it's really, the Ramchal writes in the Drush HaKivoy, there's something he writes called Drush HaKivoy, where he brings a lot of psukim that discuss kivoy to the Ramchal. Kivoy, yearning, was the most important, or one of the most important spiritual traits a person could possibly have. In his sefer Taktu Tfilos, which is Tafkuf Tasvav Tfilos, 515 Tfilos, the Ramchal wrote, incredible sefer of really, like Rabbi Nachman says, that a person has to turn his Torahs into tefillos. This is the Ramchal taking all of his svarim and putting them into.
Sefer Bais Chanan, 515.
Yeah, it's from 515. It's it's very much it's what Tavkuf Tesvav. It's 515. It's also Gematria Tefillah. It's Gematria Shira. The Ramchal wrote the sefer where he literally turned his Torahs into tefillos. It's amazing. It's really, really amazing. It was put out in a beautiful form by Machon HaRamchal, a big red sefer. Every single one of his tefillos starts off with L'Shuascha Kivisi Hashem. Everything. Every single one of his tefillos starts off with Kivoy, and it ends with Kivoy. It ends with a concept of yearning for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu reuniting the Or HaEin Sof with the Halal is basically, for all intents and purposes, on a low derech avodah, what gives us hope to be makasher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If not for the kav, we could have no kivoy, we could not be makave, melashon kav, to connect to the Or HaEin Sof. Because if not for the kav, there would be no connection between the ma'atzil and the ne'atzal. There would be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have done it any way he wanted, it would have been a hashkach, it would have been something, but the kav itself gives us the hope as nivraim to reconnect to the borah. So, and that's the concept of mikvah. Also, the mikvah is kavma, it's the ability of a person to rectify himself through tshuva. It's to, and the Ramchal writes this by kavanah sa mikvah also, that the kavanah of the mikvah should be kivoy. That when a person's going into a mikvah to fix himself, it's rooted in a hope to be better. It's rooted in a hope to reconnect to that previous state. So that's what the kav is. Okay, when this kav connects to the halal, with the reshimo in it, right? Which we said is the koach of everything that will be afterwards, all limitation, all measurements, all receiving, right? All differentness. When the kav is mechaber with it, so creates his chabrus between the ma'atzil and the netzal, creates HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Or HaEin Sof, which means on practical terms in the lashonos of the Leshem and the Ramchal, which is really where I'm not going to be using. I mean, we can also, if you guys want, but we're not going to go into the pilpulim of it, which are also incredibly exciting, of the Sfardash and Mekubalim. That's more together lumdis, and that's more together of a real limud, which according to many Mekubalim is the real way to learn Kabbalah. Right now we're discussing the practical manifestations as clearly written in the writings of the Ramchal and the Talmidei Hagra, and even the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, and especially the Leshem Shabbat Vachaloma. The kav itself is HaKadosh Baruch Hu re-entering his perfection into that place of imperfection. It's re-entering the Hashkacha Pratis, the absolute presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the place of the Nevraim, so now there can be a relationship between the two of them. The Arizal writes in Mavo Sha'arim a really important question, and the Rebbe Rasha brings this down also in a number of his svarim. Question is, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to leave a kav, he was going to re-enter a kav of Or HaEin Sof back into the halal, so why not just be mitzamsem enough to leave a kav, to leave an amount of or that would enable creation to come into existence, right? So why, instead of removing all of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Or HaEin Sof and then re-entering a kav, why not just remove everything but the kav so you don't have to have that two-step process? That's the question the Arizal writes himself.
How are we describing these things in terms of time, anyway?
in terms of time?
Like this happened, and then this happened, and this happened.
Exactly like that. Once HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mitzamsim himself, so now there's a concept of Makom, and there's also a concept of time, right? Einstein speaks about a time-space continuum, and they both come into reality at the same point.
There is a concept of Makom. There's nothing created. There's no physical world. Halal
is already a Makom.
There's no physical world.
It's a Makom B'Erech. Again, the Rashash writes in Rechov HaSanar that the most important concept to take with you in Limud HaKabbalah is the concept of Erechin. It's the concept of relativity. When we speak about space up there in the Halal HaPanoi, obviously we're not speaking about physical space that we know and that we relate to, but we're speaking about a concept of space in relationship to what was there beforehand. Everything has to be gauged on its relative level, and therefore even when we're speaking of vessels or oros up there, obviously we're not speaking about vessels that serve as constraints or vessels that serve as darkness or din, even like we said about the Butsina Dekai Dunusa. I think we spoke about that. Did we speak about that? I don't know if we spoke about that.
What?
About this would have been Shayach to Tzimtzum, so I don't wanna go on a tangent, but everything is relative. So Makom, even the potential of Makom, Klape, the impossibility of Makom, is considered Makom Ba'erchid, relatively speaking. So the Halal HaPanoi, and there's a cool sefer that came out, it's called Anshei B'nei Chayil, or Derech B'nei Chayil. He's a Talmud of Rav Moshe Shapiro, he's a Rav in Or Sameach. I actually saw Rav Weinberger bought the same sefer in Beigel Haizim the day I did, which was exciting. It's a kovetz of Shirim on the beginning of Eitz Chaim, and he writes in the Hakdama there, I'm forgetting his name right now, but he writes, and he's medayik in the Lashonos of the Arizal, that through the Lashonos of the Arizal, speaking about Simsum, it speaks about Kisha Ola Beretzono, when it came into the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how could we be speaking about when it came in? So once HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to reveal a concept of Or Ein Sof, so there's Zman, there's Makom, okay, there's both of those concepts. So, and the Meforshim of Eitz Chaim speak about the way the Kav came in is La'at La'at, and we're almost getting to Igulim, right? The Kav is going to come into that Halal HaPanoi and begin to create circles, because the Halal we're talking about is a circular space. But everything took place La'at La'at, the Meforshim say. So La'at La'at is obviously because once we're dealing with the creation of the worlds, so we're going to be dealing together as man. We're going to be dealing with a concept of time, we're going to be dealing with a concept of space relative to what we were speaking about beforehand, but obviously compared to what we perceive as time and what we perceive as space, it's absolute infiniteness, and every level above the lower level on a certain level is considered Ein Sof, klape that lower level, you know?
And this all happened within the first 6 days.
The Zman that we're speaking about is Yumin Arichin. Yumin Arichin, and
6 days
technically.
Yeah.
6 days technically,
years.
And the Meforshim, especially even the Rashash, speaks about what day this all took place. It started on Chaf Hei Elul, and it ended on Yud Zayin Tishrei. So 6 days, whatever it means. It's a technical sugya. I honestly don't have it down. It's Shayach to the Kavanos of Rosh Hashanah, but I could give you all the Makoros for it if you want. There's a lot of Makoros that speak about the nature of time that we're speaking about in these worlds. Time is really a fundamental aspect of the writings of Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver in Pesachei Sha'arim. In Ma'alos HaTorah, he speaks about time all the time. No pun intended. There's actually an English sefer called The Hidden Reality, written by this guy Rav Loiberman, which was translated by Feldheim a few years ago. It's a really, really good book. It's really, really good. Called The Hidden Reality, which speaks about the Hisavas of Zman and the Hisavas of Makom. The Maharal speaks about this all the time, about time and Makom being interconnected. So with the beginning of this Halal HaPanoi, which is Halal, we're speaking about a Makom, we're speaking about a place, we're speaking about a shape. Right? So with that came into being the concept of time. A great Makor to look at on time, and we could discuss in a different type of Chabura, is in Adir B'Marom, the Ramchal speaks about why the previous generations before Dor HaMabul lived Yumin Arichin, they lived very long days, and why afterwards there's Yumin Zeirin, there's very short days. And the concept of Miut Tamachzik as a Maruba, small amounts that could contain within them large, large amounts. Meaning we don't necessarily understand the concept of time or what time was, but Likutei Alma, there was a concept of time, and even Rishonim discussed whether time was a Nivra or not, and Ruba Kakula are Moda that time was a Nivra, like the Vilna Gaon Pashat, he was Moda, but he wasn't a Rishon. There's an incredible sefer called Mifaneach Svonos, which was written by Rav Menachem Kasher, on the Rogachover. It's all about the Rogachover. It's all about his shitos and all about his philosophical derech in paskening halacha and his philosophical derech in paskening shilas of the Rishonim. It's a really, really cool sefer. So he has a whole perek there listing all the Rishonim, the Rasag, the Mor Nevuchim that speak about time being a Nivra. And even Lagabe Halacha and Chakiras. It's really, really cool. But that relates itself to this concept that time was a Nivra. Time was created like anything else. It was created from when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to create something called Nivraim. But it's all relative. It's a relative concept. So this Kav entered in slowly. So there was a concept of time. But in the Kav itself... So back to the Mavil Sharam, the Kasha of the Arizal and Mavil Sharam,
yeah.
Right? So why couldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu remove the necessary amount of Or and leave over Kav, which would be the light Hashem wanted to use, Kav Yachol, or the presence Hashem wanted to use, in order to be Mesava all the Olamos afterwards? So this gets us into the second reason of creation. Right? The Arizal gives two reasons. We only spoke about one reason. The first reason we spoke about was in order for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring all of his potential into reality. We're already in that sugya now, right? When we're dealing with the Chalal HaPanui and the Kav, we're already in the process of HaKadosh Baruch Hu enabling himself to bring out limitation into existence. Okay? There's a second reason that the Arizal brings in Shar HaKfalim in Eitz Chaim, and it's a famous concept known especially from the Ramchal. The second reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world was something referred to in the Rishonim as Chayk HaTov Lehetiv. The nature of pure good is to do good for others, okay? And if the nature of pure good is to do good for others, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pure Tov, like the Ramchal writes in the beginning of Das Tvunos, in the beginning of Derech Hashem, based on the Arizal and Shara Klolim, right? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pure Tov, and the pure Tov, for whatever reason, is the Tov that is earned, in order that a person shouldn't have Nehemah D'Ksufa, like the Yerushalmi says in Orla, and it's quoted in Tosfos and Kiddushin, if I'm not mistaken, Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, regarding a child plant and its mother plant, or two different trees, a sapling and a bigger tree, and if they're sharing the same roots for the first 3 years of that tree's life, it doesn't face its mother tree. This is what Tosfos says, I don't know the reality of it. After 3 years, when it begins to produce its own energy and produce its own nutrients, so the tree then turns its face back to the branches of the tree, or the roots of the tree turn itself back to the mother tree. That means that as long as a person is being makabel through a matnas chinam, without any yigia on his own, without any process of earning it on his own, there's an embarrassment, there's a busha, to look the mashpia in its face, until the person becomes a self-reliant and individual mashpia for himself, and he begins to earn for himself, and he begins to gain for himself, and is no longer zakuk, is no longer in the hands of the person being mashpia to it, at that point there's no more kisuf, and there's no more embarrassment, and the concept of the hemedik sufa is, I don't believe it's written in the Zohar, it's brought down first by the Magad Me'esharim, which was Rav Yosef Kairos Sefer that he wrote based on the Magad who gave him Torahs, and the Ramchal really took that Torah and used it to be masbir, the fact that in order for the greatest good to be imparted on human beings, it needed to be through their own fruition, needed to be through their own work.
The sources are probably found Ari Kaplan's book, If You Were God, in the back of there.
Yeah, and also in Inner Space he writes about it a lot, and this is the second reason that the Arizal gives for the creation of the world. The Ramchal, in his Perush on Otzros Chaim, which is one of the Svarim of the Arizal, it's found in Ginzei Ramchal, one of the green Svarim again, the hidden works of the Ramchal. It's a few nekudos that he writes on Otzros Chaim, but he writes that there are two reasons given by the Arizal for HaKadosh Baruch Hu creating the world. One was in order to reveal his kochos, and one was to do good unto others, and to create others, and then to do the most perfect type of good, which is only through the creation of Bechira and Hester of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light. So he says that's the real reason. So even though the Arizal really writes the first reason first, and the second reason second, the Ramchal is Mahapech L'Dvarim, and he says that's the Iker reason. L'chora had something to do with the Neshama of the Ramchal, why he felt that was the Iker reason of the Bria, was in order for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be mative to the Nevraim. But for our understanding, there's a tzar mitzar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mitzar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the hechrach in creating the world was in order to bring everything into potential, and mitzad the makabla, mitzad the nevroim, from our side, the tachlis of the world was for us to be makabla hatava from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in order for there to be the greatest level of hatava, there needed to be an individuation. There needed to be a process of the nevroim becoming their own and not being self-reliant on the mashpia, which is, in our case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so according to the second reason, according to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be mashpia rov tovam b'nei adam, and all nevra'im b'chlal, meaning we're not talking about people, we're speaking about all of existence, we're speaking about all nevra'im that came into existence within the halal, so Hashem needed to at first completely remove all of his or. He had to completely remove all the or in order to let that halal hapanoi be a self-sustaining concept. It needed to be individualized. It needed to be separated from its mother, so to speak. It needed to be cut. It could no longer have that mashpia makabel relationship. It needed to come into its own personal existence in order for it to be able to earn things on its own. And this is the halachos that apply to all nivraim. And once HaKadosh Baruch Hu removed all that or ein sof, and it gave the possibility to that halal hapanoi to become self-reliant and a self-fulfilling concept, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mashpia the kav again. And then he was able to bring the Or Ein Sof back into the Halal HaPanui. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu were to reveal just that little bit of light after the Tzimtzum, if he wasn't Mitzamsim everything, all he was Mitzamsim was the Kav, right? If all he was Mitzamsim was the Kav, then there would have never been that non-reliant relationship, and all Nevroim would have subsisted based on that original Or from the Or Ein Sof Kodem Abriya, and there never would have been that Zman for us to not take ourselves from that absolute hashpa of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, all of this is based on the fact that the greatest level of good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be mashpia to us is when we're self and individual self-sustaining creatures who have a sense of self-consciousness and have a self of being individuals who earn our own keep, for lack of a better term. So that's basically what the Arizal writes with the elucidation of the Ramchal in Mavo Sharim as to why HaKadosh Baruch Hu removes all the Or Ein Sof before the Bria, as opposed to just removing enough to leave the Kav. And also for more practical reasons, like we spoke about before, a Kav of Or Ein Sof would completely express itself unlimitedly, right? In order for the Kav to be limited, it had to come down with a Chut also. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu had just left that Kav originally from the Or Ein Sof without removing everything, so then there would have been no Koach Hasitum, there would have been no Koach Hadin on that Kav. So in order to bring down the Kav and the Chut, and to create a possibility of Chesed and Din, right, so it had to be reapplied. But everything we're speaking about here, the Roshem and the Halal HaPanui, we have to remember that it's all Litzorech, this concept of Ha'atava. It's all Litzorech, the greatest Ha'atava that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could give to us is when it's Mitzumtzum and when it's through a self-conscious and individualized being. So for now, that's really all we have to know about the Kav. Sorry, one last thing, and then I think I'm going to have to go. One last thing is that the Kav came down, the Arizal says, to the middle of the Halal. So what's the reason it came down to the middle of Halal, and why didn't it express itself all the way down to the Halal? Why didn't it go from the Rosh Halal to the bottom of the Halal? So the purpose of this Kav is to create Nevra'im, right? All Nevra'im, starting from Adam Kadmon, which is the first world, and then we'll get to Olam HaAtzilus, and Olam HaBriya, and Olam HaYetzira, and Olam HaAsiya, which is the beginning of our existence. All of it garbs, all of it dresses up this Kav HaEin Sof. Okay? We're going to discuss this at length, but the worlds that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created into Bria all interrelate and interconnect themselves, like we interrelate and we interconnect the things that we wear. Meaning there's the Etzem, and then there's the Habasha on top of that Etzem. There's clothes. Clothes are a major, major sugya. The clothes of Adam HaRishon, the Katnus Or with an Ayin or an Aleph, it's all major, major sugyas in the Kabbalah of the Arizal and the Kabbalah of the Vilna Gaon B'Prat. But the way the worlds interconnect and interrelate with each other is Bederech Halbasha, meaning it's, you have to imagine a 3D image, right? We're no longer working in two-dimensional. You have a circular tube for lack of a better term and lack of a better expression, of the kav. And then you have, on top, you know the babushka dolls? You know those dolls that you open up and there's another doll within it and then you open it up? Those Russian babushka dolls? That's the best way to explain it. That's how the worlds interconnect with each other.
And our world is the most inner world?
Our world is, l'chora, the most outer world.
The most...
The most inner aspect is the kappa ein sof. Yeah,
saying.
We have the most lushin. The most inner aspect within this chalal panui is the kappa ein sof.
I know why you're thinking that. Because you're thinking
of
in this
bigger. Right, the ein sof outside. Right.
So we'll see. You're right technically when it comes to igulin, which we'll get to, but you're wrong when it comes to yosha.
When it comes to what?
Yosha. Well, that's going to be the next tabula, the concept of igulin v'yosha. Human experience is lived on the gather of Yoshar, but there's also a reality called Igulim, which is, in which case you're going to be correct, where the most pnimi is the lowest and the most external is the highest.
I don't know what you're saying.
That's the circle, how we don't go by, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what we're going to get up to.
Just a quick point. I was learning with Gabi today. Just throw it in there. We're learning a Torah from the Rebbe, and Chabad's way is Mekadesh, the most outer point, the most revealed point, the most chitzoni point, because there you find the most Kedusha. Hence why Chabad goes out to do what they do. And being Mekadesh, bread, being Mekadesh, every, I mean, Chassid is also about being Mekadesh, but like, it's like, really as what you just said, the most like outer point. Is that
right.
What it is, or we don't? It's probably not only because
Reweimer
gave a shiur about this. He said he explained the circle, and he said it's not what we do. I just have to explain it. And there's a piece in the Chaban, I think that's where he started talking about it from, which explains the whole thing.
Yes. Yeah, so
from Yitzchak Isaac Chaber, I think that's where the Torah is from.
It's Igulim v'Yosher is a major concept in the. This is really going to be next Chabura, but. I don't know. I would have to hear what Gabi's saying himself. It's not.
No,
really
he was.
Applicable.
He didn't. He didn't I
yeah,
just...
It's not really applicable to our avodas Hashem. It's a darga that will go. Rav Tzadok speaks about it a lot. He speaks about the machol the tzaddikim lasalavo, the shivoy, the absolute interconnectedness of every nivra.
Mm-hmm.
So the igulim have a place in drashos and in chassidus also, and it's a darga of atem nitzavim kulchem hayom. It's spoken about a lot in the svarim by that parsha where there's a complete. Ishtavus of all nevraim, because the igul, every point is equidistant from the center point.
Is that also in tennis? Is that the same idea? Yeah, the la'asad
alav
HaKadosh
Baruch Hu la'asas machol etzadikim hu yoshev b'nei b'gan Eden, that it's going to be revealed that everyone is interconnected. The Beis Aaron, who's the Karliner Rebbe, Rav Aaron Mikarlin, and it's quoted actually in Michtav Neyo in Chelek Hay, it says that there's a chazal based on a Ramah Mipano, I think, that a chazal that Ramon Mipano brings down is that the place of that machol is going to be in Gehenna, which even goes to show that through the gather of Yigulim, there's an absolute shivoy of everything, and that just like the kilos, just like the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes from Shemayim, it comes from Gehenna as well.
So
but
I'll follow you with that, learning after learning Chaban on this. That was Korach's whole taina.
Mm-hmm.
Korach wanted that place of Yigulim, that everyone's equal,
right.
Everyone's equal.
Al-Chakula Kedushim, right.
Yeah.
And Korach is Sadi Katamar Yifrach, the Arizal says, Sofiteva Sadi Katamar Yifrach, because eventually there'll be a place. But the sins beget, all sins of Bnei Yisrael are Ochal Pega. All sins of Bnei Yisrael are that they've been too quick. The Chedah Maraglim, the Chedah Adam Arishon, the Chedah Kain Behevel. Everything is that everything was too quick, and everything has to be in the right time. Rabbi Nachman speaking about this in Torah above, that Keser is Melashon Hamtana. It's a question of waiting. The Iker Tikkun of Bnei Yisrael nowadays is Tzipia and waiting, because the Iker Kilkulim were through running into these concepts, and this is where the Kilkulim through learning Kabbalah take place, where a person thinks that Chas V'Shalom there's a Hizdamnus of Chet, and that there's no Din L'Leis Dayan. This is like Shabtzai Sviya Machshamo stuff. So we don't really talk on the practical levels of Igulim, but we'll get into that. We'll get into Igulim. The reason the Kav had to be straight and the reason the Kav had to be a line as opposed to a circle was because there needed to be a tzarech of hierarchy and higher and lower. If it's just an igul, there's no higher and lower. Through a Kav, now we could speak about higher and lower. If the Kav went down to the bottom of the halal completely and hit the bottom of the halal, the Arizal writes, then there would have been a complete nullification of the Tzimtzum, because if the Kav Ein Sof is connected, and the Meforshim question this and they have mathematical answers, which I don't necessarily understand. But for whatever reason, if the kav went from the top of the halal down to the bottom of the halal, because again, there's Or Ein Sof at the bottom of the halal and at the top of the halal. So if the kav was mechaber, the Or Ein Sof from the top and the Or Ein Sof at the bottom, there would have been a complete nullification of any concept of tzimtzum, and that would have been against how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create the world, because the tachlis of the kav is in order to let. To leave room for kivot, to leave room for yearning. And therefore, the kav does not go down to the bottom. Rather, it sits in the middle. And that's where all the worlds that we'll eventually come to discuss exist, and they surround it, and everything is rooted in the kav. So that's it for the kav. Okay, guys.